Our text from Daniel this morning comes at the end of a rather terrifying section of the book. The prophet has, of course, written some familiar tales from Shad, Mish, and Abe, as I like to call them, and their time in the fiery furnace, all the way to the prophet's own experience in the midst of the lion's den. He's written about hope and faithfulness. He's told the tales of those who remain faithful even in the face of death, and he has covered some darker themes as well. Now, as the book comes to its close in chapter 12, Daniel brings both light and darkness together. Tragedy confronts the reader at the end of chapter 11 as we read of kings doing as they please, making war against each other. And yet, the prophet says, those times of great turmoil, those kings doing as they please, the time of weeping, he says those times, those rulers, they will come to an end. In the end, the prophet writes, God's people will indeed find protection. In the midst of great pain and misery, they will be delivered. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, the prophet writes, they will wake up. Those who have died will rise again to new life. And the light will overcome the darkness like stars in the night sky. In other words, the record will be set straight. Things will be made right. The story isn't all that different for Mary and Martha in John's gospel today. Their beloved brother was dead. After a brief illness, the family was in mourning. Jesus had arrived, but he was late. The sisters knew this. Martha said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus responds with the same hope that Daniel just described. Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha's response seems to have a bit of a sigh along with it. I know, Lord, I know that he'll rise again on the last day at the resurrection of the dead. What she doesn't say is, but what about now? Now we're here mourning. Now we're here separated. Our brother is in a tomb and we are up here. He is gone. What about now? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha said, I believe. Well, we know how that story ends. Just moments later, Jesus would approach the tomb. Jesus would command those standing there to roll stone away. He would call out to Lazarus, come out. And he would. Well, we know how the story ends where we're left today. We're not there yet. Where we're left today is with faith and a promise. With faith that Jesus really is the resurrection and the life, that he will indeed bring new life to his people, that he will indeed raise those who have died. In John's gospel, in our text for today, we're still waiting. Waiting and hoping that things will be set right. And that's a pretty familiar set of feelings for those of us in the midst of hardship and tragedy. A place somewhere between hope and fulfillment, between promise and action. It was the story for Daniel and the people when he wrote. It was the story for Mary and Martha as they met Jesus that day in Bethany. It's been the story for the church for the last almost 2,000 years. We've been a people living in the midst of a broken world, a people clinging to hope, to faith, that our Lord Jesus can and will set things right. In a place between hope and fulfillment, promise and action. Today's the day that we have set aside to commemorate Jesus' ascension. You know the story, right? From Acts chapter 1, the disciples are gathered together. Jesus is with them, and all of a sudden he's taken up and he's seen amongst the clouds until he disappears from their sight. In a certain sense, our commemoration of the ascension is one that might come with some mixed feelings. For the first disciples, it was the day that Jesus' presence among them would change, where he would no longer walk in their midst, but instead reside with them through the sending of his Spirit. A change that he promised would be for their good, but one that they were still apprehensive to embrace. For us, we may be led or tempted to ask the same kind of questions and make the same sort of statements that Martha made to Jesus when she met him on the road. In the midst of tragedy, hardship, in the midst of a world in turmoil, Lord, if only you had been here. Lord, if only you had been here, fill in the blank. I wouldn't have lost my job. I or my loved one wouldn't be suffering. Lord, if you'd only been here, my marriage wouldn't be on the rocks. Lord, if you'd only been here, my loved one wouldn't have died. Lord, if you'd only been here, the world wouldn't be in turmoil. Things would be set right. Lord, if you'd only been here, things would be different. We live in the middle of hope. We live in the middle, right in between promise and action. It's not an easy place to be. And here we are remembering the day when Jesus was lifted up among the clouds until he disappeared from the disciples' sight. On our commemoration of the ascension, there's a couple of things that I think we need to keep in sight. A first order is the hope that Daniel and Martha so clearly state that the dead will be raised. Though it may not happen on our time, though it may seem far off, as it did for Martha, our hope is that Jesus, who was raised from the dead, truly is the resurrection and the life, and his promise is for you and for me, it's for his entire world, that things will be set right. It's not a promise that's far off, for a far off place. No, it's a promise for you. It's a promise for me. It's a promise for all of his people and even all of his world. New, full, bodily life. Raised from the dead, life as part of God's new creation. His world set right once and for all. The second relates to what I have thought of over the past week as the problem of the ascension. Throughout John's gospel, we hear the disciples wonder, ask, worry, and even question Jesus about where he's going, about what he's doing, and what will happen when he goes away and they can't see him. Martha and her sister Mary were certain that if Jesus were present, their brother would not have died. The disciples were confounded back in chapters 14 through 16 of John's gospel when Jesus said that he was going away, but it was for their good. What would happen to them? What would happen to the world without the presence of Jesus in the familiar way that they had gotten so used to over the past 3 years? Jesus' response from chapters 14 and 16 is what we need to remember when we think about the ascension. We think about Jesus amongst the clouds, perhaps disappearing from our sight. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming." Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. for I will send the Spirit to you, and he will guide you in all truth. He will take what is mine, and he will bring it to you. My guidance, my word, my way, my work in the world. The Spirit will bring those to you, Jesus said. Why did he go away? To send his Spirit among us, to be with us, to guide us, to call us into the new resurrection life that he brings to the world. As we exit the Easter season, it may be difficult to see Jesus amongst the clouds, as it may be difficult to see and remember that the world changed that first Easter morning, that the tomb is empty and nothing will ever be the same. Those are the words that we need to remember, to keep close to our hearts and minds. The very words of Jesus. My Spirit will be with you always. I am the resurrection and the life. Say those after me. Jesus said, my Spirit will always be with you.
My Spirit will always be with you.
I am the resurrection and the life.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Jesus is alive. He reigns. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.